And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and current news. Well, at least the kind of news that we like to talk about. The rest of it we don't bother to talk about. And we try to give you our version of the truth, which hopefully is the truth. And we try to cut through all the nonsense that is the mainstream media. So thank you for joining us today. Austin will be with me in just a moment. We had a hard time connecting with him at the office. We had a bad connection, and so he'll be here hopefully momentarily. Just to let you guys know that I will be on with Doug Hagman tonight for the entire 3 hours, so I'm looking forward to that. So it's going to be a fun show today, and it's going to be a fun show tonight. So you guys, stay tuned tonight, stay tuned today, and we'll have some fun. And yes, thank you. Yesterday, a lot of you guys emailed us and talked to us and told us that our show had gone down midway through yesterday with Dave Hodges. The archives are up on that show, and they are in their entirety. We continue to do the show even though the fiber optic line had been cut. But now we realize that basically it was also a major issue with the connectivity that we had also. So that's all fixed, but the actual show is in good shape. But let me tell you guys a funny story. Austin, you there yet?
Yeah, I just got back in here, bud.
Okay. Let me tell you guys a funny story. This is funny. You guys will get a kick out of this. Today I went over to Dr. Robinson's office in Lakeland, Florida, where I have my chelation therapy done a couple times a month. And it was kind of interesting because that's the EDTA that we've talked about that you take orally, but you can also take it intravenously. And it allows you to clean the plaquing of your arteries out a lot better. So it's about a 20-mile drive from the house. So I told Sharon, I basically volunteered her to go with me. So we jumped in the car. And, of course, I forgot the e-passes that you have to basically pay. They charge your credit card automatically, the SunPass, whatever you want to call it. It's a little transponder on the windshield. And so we're driving over there, no transponder, so I'm having to stop and pay all the tolls, and so it's taking like forever to get there. Finally, I get there, and I look down, I'm wearing my socks, and I told Sharon, I said, go ahead and grab my shoes, they're in the back seat, and lo and behold, I had left my shoes on the counter at the house. Here I drove 20 miles through the tolls, and I have this show today, we were finishing the sod job today. And finally, I told Sharon, my wife, I said, I'm just going to let you sit in the car. I'm going to park next to the sidewalk going into the office, and I'm walking in my socks. And she goes, you're walking in your socks. I said, yeah, I know. There won't be anybody there this morning. I said, it's early. It's about 8:30. And I said, everybody there knows me. And I said, I wouldn't go in there barefoot because it's a doctor's office. That'd be kind of nasty, but I can always wash my socks or throw them away. But I'll walk in real quick and do this chelation. It only takes 10 minutes. So, of course, I walk in, Austin, and, of course, the staff is there. They see me walking around without shoes on. I've got my socks on. And they're like asking me, where are my shoes? And I told them, I said, well, I'm 10 years old again. I have forgotten my shoes. And they all start laughing. So then I walk into the chelation room, which is normally empty. And there's like 6-7 people sitting in there. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so now they're all staring at me with my socks, walking into my socks. And I informed them that I was 10 years old and I'd forgot my socks. And so I sit down and I'm laughing about it. And a guy sitting across from me, his name's Richard, he says to me, he goes, what's your name? And I said, I'm Ted Brower. And he goes, well, I listen to your talk show every day. So here I am, shoeless, sitting in the doctor's office having a chelation shot. And I started laughing. So I told Richard, I said, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this little encounter today so everybody knows that when I tell them these stories, they're true. And so Richard has a mobile engine repair business. In other words, he works with marine engines and boats. He repairs outdoor outdrives on the boats, and also like Mercury and Evinrude and Johnson Motors. Great guy. I talked to him about 15, 20 minutes. If you want to give him a call, if you need any engine work done and you're in Central Florida, give him a shot. His phone number is 8, and he didn't ask me to do this. It's 863-661-6761. I'm going to repeat that for you. His name is Richard. Great guy, Christian, patriot, concerned about health. He's in the doctor's office with me. 863-661-6761. And now, please, don't just call him up by the hundreds or the thousands or whatever and ask him if I was really at the doctor's office without shoes. That's a true story. But if you need engine work done, you can give him a call. But he's a great guy, so I enjoyed talking to him. But that was a funny story, Austin. I got home, and of course, socks immediately went into the laundry. And I thought, this is crazy that I'm now running around the doctor's offices without socks. What do you think about that whole story?
He told me about it earlier. I couldn't stop laughing when he told me that. That sounded like something you'd go and do.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, of course I haven't shaved in a couple of days, so that was interesting. So I'm really pleased with the amount of coverage that we're getting on the show. I know we have a lot of listeners because they lose with emails whenever we say stuff. So guys, thank you for listening. And Richard, it was nice meeting you today. And I do hope you get a chance to come by the house. And, you know, just it's really nice meeting fellow patriots locally that you know you're talking to, and you're not just talking to empty seats like Hillary at the Democratic convention that are paid for to be filled up at $50 a piece, having to wear campaign paraphernalia, and they must cheer and clap upon cue. Unbelievable. What a disaster that entire Democratic convention turned into. And of course, Hillary got to go out there and pontificate as a globalist last night. And guys, I've got to be honest with you. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. I watched 30 to 40 seconds of her talking, reading her teleprompter. I became physically nauseous. I really did. I got sick to my stomach, and I thought, she's a witch. She's a real witch, and I'm not going to listen to her. I don't want her words coming into my house. I don't want her mess coming into my spirit. I don't want anything. Now, I pulled a bunch of articles up that we'll cover tonight on Hagman about how that convention finally shook out. But the truth is, if we can get an honest election, I personally see another landslide victory like we had for Ronald Reagan. Her own people were booing her, the Bernie Sanders supporters, and every time they said something, when Bernie tried to endorse Hillary, they were booing. Everybody was booing. Finally, they staged a huge walkout. The Bernie or bust people, I give these guys credit, man. These guys have got some chutzpah, man. These guys are tough, and they don't want anybody, and I can't blame them. But guys, listen to me if you're a Bernie supporter. He's a turncoat, guys. I mean, he had a private meeting with Obama at the White House, immediately after which he basically endorsed Hillary. Now, I don't know what happened on the meeting. I have no idea, but I kind of think it went like this. This is my paraphrase of a guess as far as my point. Hey, Bernie, we'd love having you in the Senate. We've got a lifetime job here in the Senate. We'll keep you in the Senate forever and ever. There you go. That's great. And we'll also, we got a Swiss account set up for you over here. We're going to put X amount of dollars in the Swiss account. And, you know, remember Vince Foster? That's the other alternative. You got Vince Foster, you got a Swiss account, lifetime in the Senate, plus we'll give you the notoriety, we'll let you have speaking segments all the time. So you're going to be blessed, 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 or dead, 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 dead. You choose which one you want. And quite frankly, you know, I personally believe he completely just betrayed his own constituents, his own values, by endorsing a globalist. I really do. I mean, Trump is a nationalist. He's not a globalist. And Trump is a much, much better alternative. Angela Merkel is now saying that Germany is being besieged with terrorism and Europe is being besieged with terrorism, but she wants to bring more immigrants in. I mean, gosh, yeah. That's a communist wench that keeps on giving, man. I tell you what, I feel bad for the Germans, my relatives and everybody else. They're contacting Jürgen Klum constantly now, my buddy who owns the bakery here, wanting to know if he has jobs for them here and how they can get out of Germany because it's gotten so, so bad. And, of course, Obama now also is wanting to do more to bring in Central Americans, not just Mexicans, but now he wants to bring in the Guatemalans and all these other people that have absolutely zero useful skill sets, more Cloward and Piven. So, guys, it's going to be an interesting fall. Just pray we have a legitimate election. Okay, that's my little rant for the morning. So, Austin, what's your first story, buddy?
Well, this is pretty cool. You know, Russia has been massively clamping down on GMO food production, GMO imports. Now they're actually going over to the GMO animal feed, you know, specific feed that's already made for animals. Russian authorities have now announced a large limit on any GMO animal feed imports as the country continues taking aggressive steps to becoming GMO-free. The Russian Food Safety Regulatory Agency made the announcement on July 21st that animal feed that is either fully GMO or that contains GMO would no longer be imported into the country, as far as how, depending on the percentage that it is. This latest announcement falls on the heels of a complete ban on GMO crop cultivation and GMO animal breeding that was signed into law in June by President Putin. Although the ban on GMO animal feed will not be completely banned, as far as if there is a small amount of GMO feed, the restrictions have already begun to limit massive imports of feed containing high percentages of GMOs. So they're at it again, guys. Every time you turn around, these guys are really, really serious about cutting this garbage out of their food supply. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is when you start eating meat and foods that, you know, have been processed with GMO, chickens and cows that have been fed GMO, it's still getting into your system. You know, not near severely if you're just sitting there eating Roundup-resistant, you know, corn every day, but you're still getting it in your system. And obviously Russia sees this and understands it, and that's why they're taking these steps. So I think it's pretty cool. Russia keeps going further and further and further along the lines of a healthier, classier country. And I'm pretty impressed with it, especially what they've done with the GMO banning. I mean, I know you are too, Dad.
Well, Russia's interesting because they've done a lot of genetic research. We're still doing a lot of gene splicing. They're actually using frequency to do gene changes and transformations. And they're actually changing and editing, you know, the salamanders and the reptiles, et cetera, by just changing the frequency they're using on the DNA, which is really just light years above what we've been documenting that we have. But I'm sure we have the same type of experiments going on in our country, because I know that they can completely change your frame of mind by the right frequency they can pump into your brain with Gwen towers or cell towers or massive radar domes or all these different things that are putting all this electronic frequency into our bodies. So I'm going to be covering also iPhones, and I'm going to talk about iPhones. I'm going to be talking about the Android products tonight on Hagmann and which one puts out less radiation. So I'm going to be covering that tonight. So you guys are going to want to make sure you listen to that. It's going to be a really, really good show. What's your next story, Oz?
Story down here. This is down here in Florida again. Florida police now appear to basically make complete fools of themselves down here. They arrested a man for possession of crystal meth when it was actually icing sugar from a Krispy Kreme donut. Orlando. This is good old Orlando again. Mm-hmm. Resident Daniel Rushing is now planning to sue over the case of mistaken amphetamine. The 64-year-old was stopped by police in December last year due to an apparent traffic violation while leaving a store parking lot. During inspection of his vehicle, which I don't even know why he let them inspect his vehicle, this is why I've told you guys so many times before, never consent to a search, Officer Shelby Rigg Hopkins discovered that she identified narcotics in his vehicle. So, of course, they freaked out, arrested him, searched the rest of the vehicle, and they started stating that, you know, what do you have this in here for? He stated, I've never done drugs, I've never been in trouble for anything in my life. He stated the substance is, you know, basically Krispy Kreme icing. I ate a bunch of them earlier. And the initial police test, get this, the initial police test showed positive that the substance was crack cocaine before suspicions were raised enough that it was meth. He told them, I kept telling them that it's glazed from a donut. They said, no, you're lying, it's crystal meth. He spent 10 hours in holding lockup, had to post a $2,500 bail. Then a week later, he was contacted and cleared of all wrongdoing when further tests found the substance was not to be any type of drug, but a sugary, somewhat addictive remnant of a donut. So this goes back to my lecture that I tell everybody about, A, not consenting to searches, and B, we need to get some legitimate drug tests instead of these bobo ones that a lot of these companies are pushing. They're making a ton of money off of. I brought this up a few months ago. They did a test. They took like 50 different substances, and they found that they could get like 30 positive drug reads off just basic stuff. Tylenol, Hershey bar. I mean, there's random stuff that's in your vehicle. This right here showed positive for crack cocaine when they tested icing off of his donut. Now, I'm not advocating you guys go eat Krispy Kreme donuts, but what I'm saying is this whole war on drugs really needs a revamp, and that's one other thing that we need to address in the future, especially if Trump has any idea about what's going on with this whole police industrial complex and the drug industry complex and how it's being funded with complete total nonsense like this.
Well, as far as Krispy Kreme donuts go, man, they're good. Now, I haven't had one probably in 30 years, but I remember when they first come out of that doggone fryer and they're all crispy. And they basically, oh my gosh, they're ridiculous. Now, don't eat them because I'm sure there's every smatter of how quickly do you want to die poison in them. But I still remember those when I was a kid. And I used to eat a whole dozen myself. and it was crazy. So yeah, I remember the Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. So yeah, so I guess you're gonna be guilty with crack cocaine if you've got Krispy Kreme donuts.
There you go.
Florida's gotten so Looney Tunes as far as stopping everybody. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's just, it really, really is. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, this is interesting too. Now, Ford has basically plunged. Their auto sales have massively dropped. Their Q2s they're coming out is much lower than expected. They're saying we're not seeing any growth at all, and they're now warning that the U.S. auto industry has completely plateaued, and nobody really knows what to do. They said we don't see growth, at least in the near term. We do think the U.S. is coming down from what we expected. We saw higher U.S. incentives. The industry increased, and we increased our line with the industry. However, everything is still plateauing. We are working, as we did in the first half, to deliver profit improvement actions. We do have a lot of risk. We have seen those risks. We've addressed those risks in the first half. We're continue to doing more, but the U.S. industry has started to plateau, and we've seen a very gradual, modestly rising incentive level. However, we do not see any type of growth in the near future. So that's interesting to see that with Ford. Even with all the stuff now, the 84-month loans, the low percent APRs, the rebates they're putting on these vehicles, it's really starting to come to light now. And people, if you're awake, you should start realizing that this is the writing on the wall. When this stuff starts happening, when you start having $10,000 and $15,000 rebates on brand-new vehicles, and you can get 1.9% financing for 84 months and crazy incentives like they're doing, and growth is still only slightly elevated, if any, if not plateaued, that's a pretty good indication that the market and the economy is getting very, very sluggish very fast. What do you think about that with Ford?
Well, you know, Ford, number one, they basically soiled themselves when they got rid of the 7.3 engine and they went through all those different truck engines. And then the resale value on their vehicles is absolutely horrific, because we used to do a Ford truck every year. You could buy a good one and swap it out for $2,000 or $3,000 a year. And it was a great income tax deduction and corporate tax write-off because of the weight of the vehicle. And then you couldn't get any money for them after that one engine came out that blew 4-foot flames out of the tailpipe. And
6.4.
What year was that?
That was 2008, the good old 6.4 twin turbo.
Oh, that's the last one I ever owned a Ford. I had enough of that mess. You know, I didn't want to be giving people, you know, flame haircuts. And but the thing that was crazy about the thing with the Ford is this. I mean, remember last month, Chevy, for the July 4th sale, gave a third off of retail to consumers, a third. I mean, if the car sold for $36,000 on these trucks, they took $12,000 off and they were selling it for $24,000. And it was only good for a few days, but they had a 30% off sale. Now, the nuttiest part about that is they sold a bunch of vehicles, but that's got to be really, really close to manufacturing costs when they bite that deep into the margins, because those guys, a lot of them don't manufacture their own parts. They have the parts suppliers ship them parts, and they're more or less just assemblers now. Now, the old Ford factory that they built up there in Michigan, close to Detroit, it would actually bring in like rubber, and they would make their own tires and make their own glass and make their own parts. They had their own furnaces and everything else. I mean, they'd bring rubber in one end, you know, just basically raw steel in one end and silicon in one end, and the other end would pop out a car. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, this guy had figured out how to do all of this. They don't do that anymore. They're all pretty much just manufacturers, and they sub out the parts, and sometimes they'll make some of their own motor castings, or they'll stamp out their own fenders or whatever. But the crazy thing is this, Ford and GM both, you know, they were looking for China for a lot of growth. The problem is when you get involved with the Chinese, they can nationalize your assets pretty quick over there. And General Motors now to kind of turn into Chinese Motors because they're looking for growth in that industry. Plus, here's the other problem we got, Austin. You know, pickup trucks, a nice pickup truck should be $25,000, $30,000. That's it, okay? Pickup trucks are now $60,000, $70,000 for a nice truck. And what they're doing is they're giving you this huge 84-month loan to basically finance this truck, and the payments are still close to $1,000 a month. So here you end up with a car. By the time you pay the insurance and all the fuel, you got over $1,000. You got a house payment in a car, and now there's literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions, of dollars in car loans in this giant bubble that's about to pop. And when everybody stops buying the cars, they stop dropping the sales numbers down. They try to trade their vehicles in or get out of them. They're going to be way, way, way upside down in them. Student loans and car loans are two of the biggest bubbles out there right now. So, personally, here's how I look at it. I'd rather drive an older car that's paid for. That's what I would rather do. I mean, if you've got a car that you've been making payments on for 5 or 6 years and it's still running great, just keep it if it's paid for. Don't worry about it. Don't be going out and buying new vehicles right now. Right now is not that time. Right now, you need to be staying tight with your money and making sure you just don't spend things. And it's like an old pastor friend said to me one time. He goes, don't buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. This is the entire advertising that has been put to us by Bernays, who was the cousin of Sigmund Freud, who were both, by the way, Sabbateans, who basically were Luciferians. Both of those guys were. You wonder why Freud was such a whack bag. That's why. I remember we had to learn about him when I was in psychology at Florida State, and I thought, this guy's Looney Tunes. I wasn't even saved when I was in that psychology program at Florida State. I started reading about the cocaine head, Freud, and all the weirdo things and the weird complexes. He was a pervert. He's a stinking weirdo pervert, you know? And it was, he was nuts. And of course, he was a Satanist. And he followed Sabbatain Levy and Jacob Frank. And, I mean, it was later found out he and both Bernays were. And these are the guys that developed this ability to program us, like Charlotte Isry talks about, from the Leipzig School, in which they brought in operant classical conditioning into the classroom to train us like lab rats. And that's what Bernays taught the advertising and the marketing groups to do, is how to condition us through commercials, through print ads, through radio later, through TV, and how to brainwash people into believing the product that they were selling they were looking at was going to be something they absolutely had to have to be, quote, happy. And we're going to be talking about happy and happiness tonight on Hagmann's show, too. But what's interesting about this is how the cigarette commercials got so incredibly powerful back in the 60s. You know, we had the old jingles, you know, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. And the other ones, forgive my singing ability. The other one was, you know, I'd walk a mile for a Camel, right? And so those commercials haven't been on TV or radio now since the 60s. And that means 50, 60 years. And all of you who remember those commercials could have finished those lyrics for me, that jingle they called it. And they learned that you could program people's brain by going into their minds and teaching them jingles and making them repeat the stuff over and over and over again. And then they used this cartoon character, Joe Camel, because they were directly going after the 5 and 6 year old children who thought the Camel was cool. This is true. I'm not making any of this stuff up. And that's why they were targeting the young minds of these children. And then, of course, the children started smoking because they were going to be naughty. You know, the parents told them, here, I'm smoking this cigarette. You can't have one. You're too young, whatever. So the children always want to be naughty with stuff that they do. So, well, I'm going to go sneak this cigarette from my mom, and I'm going to run behind the building, and I'm going to smoke it, right? Now, my mom, she, bless her heart, she was hooked. She was a chain smoker. Now, thank God she didn't smoke when she was pregnant with us. I really am happy about that. But what was interesting about her is that, you know, she used cigarettes, the nicotine and the cigarettes, to self-medicate. Now, remember, my mom had come through Nazi Germany, had seen the full rise and fall of the Third Reich. She was born up there in Hanover in Germany in 1916. So she saw it all, from the beginning of Hitler to the end of Germany, the destruction of Germany, to the people starving to death in the streets, saw it all. And so she would use cigarettes to self-medicate. And I always found it very sad because, you know, I didn't understand why she would smoke so much. And what she would do, because nobody knew back in the 50s how bad cigarettes were, because all the doctors were promoting them and TV ads were promoting them and radio was promoting them and newsprint was promoting them, and no one really understood how deadly they were. And I remember she used to let me light her cigarettes, Austin. I think I told you that. She'd say, light me up a cigarette. And I'd sit there, I'm like 6 or 7 years old, and I'm lighting my mom a cigarette. Nowadays, you'd have Department of Family Services coming in, taking the kid away. And what's interesting about that, I remember one time I was 8 years old, and she smoked Salems, I think they were called. And I decided I was going to smoke a Salem. And I remember she had left a pack of cigarettes in the house, and there was a lighter beside him. I thought, oh, man, I have arrived. I get to smoke a whole cigarette by myself. And I remember I went in the living room, and there was a little green chair sitting in the living room with wrought iron on both sides. I sat down in that chair, and I lit that cigarette up, and I took a deep inhalation on it. And my goodness, I tell you what, I fell on the floor coughing and choking, thought I had died. Glad I didn't burn the house down with a cigarette that was lit in my hand as I got flung across the room, laying on the carpet thinking, my goodness, why do people do stuff like that? And that's the last time I ever touched a cigarette. After that point on, whenever she asked me if I would light one for, I said, I have no interest in doing that again. No, thank you. And so, guys, that's what they did to us, though. They programmed us back in the 60s and in the 50s with these crazy advertisements to push cigarettes to children, because they wanted to have a group of people that were going to be completely and totally addicted. Today, we were finishing the little sod job in Austin's yard, And we had a guy show up this morning. He's a military guy, and he breaks out a cigarette. And I told Austin, I said, he won't have any stamina. He's in his early 40s now. There's no way he's been able to lay sod in this heat. And so he made it for a few hours, and he had to quit. See, that's the thing, guys, they don't tell you about. If you're a kid right now and you're listening to the show, listen to me, kids. You know, cigarettes are bad. They're real bad. Don't even get started on them. It's not being naughty. It's being, well, it's being stupid, okay? And if your parents are hooked on it, I guarantee you they wish they never would have started. C. Everett Koop said, Austin, back in the 80s, that cigarettes are more difficult to get off of than heroin. Let me repeat that.
Yeah,
he said cigarettes are more addictive and harder to quit than heroin. And the reason for that is you get that oral gratification, number one. And number two, you have a behavioral pattern of lighting the cigarettes and picking up the cigarettes and lighting the matches. And you develop these motor learning skills that you're doing the same behavior, the same pattern all the time. And on top of that, the nicotine and the other substances they put into the cigarettes are extremely addictive. And they know that. And that's why they put it in there. And so it's really sad to me that people do that. It's really sad to me my mom did it. But my mom still lived to be in her 90s doing that. But she never really inhaled real deeply in the cigarettes. But it's impossible not to get some smoke down your lungs. But I don't know why I just went off on all that. What's your next story, Austin?
Well, this is interesting now, too. The French have basically been flipping out over there in Europe about Monsanto and the glyphosate extension. Remember, I told you guys last week that the European Union ended up allowing glyphosate usage to have an 18-month extension, even though all the facts, all the research, everything pointed to the fact that glyphosate is unbelievably toxic to human beings and everything else around it. So the French now, they've stated, they said the carcinogenic effects of glyphosate, the French government now is motion to implement a ban outlawing the use of glyphosate, that they are going to try and do it on their own now since the EU basically didn't go through with it. They said French government officials remain united in their dedication to find a healthier alternative to the detrimental, harmful pesticide by the end of the newly extended deadline. Because of France's booming winemaking and farm industry, the country has developed a toxic dependence on weed-killing herbicides. As the world's largest producer of wine, France realizes the importance of maintaining its vineyards, but it also recognizes it needs to find alternatives to this toxic garbage they're using that they're so reliant on now. And that's why, remember, we talked about the beer and the wine now. Almost all of it that's being tested is coming back with heavy glyphosate exposure to it. So this is an issue, especially for the people that are drinking this stuff on a regular basis. That's not something I advocate or think people need to be doing. But you think about what you're already eating, what you're already being exposed to, and now you're turning around, you're eating and drinking all this, these wine products that are used with treated grapes that are sprayed with glyphosate. It's definitely not something good at all. So France is pretty adamant about it, and quite a few other people in the EU, from what I've seen now, are pretty irritated about that 18-month extension. But again, that's what happens when Monsanto gets his hands and his money involved and stuff. They like to get their way, apparently.
We've got a friend of ours. He has a bunch of grapes. He's from Italy. He was actually born in Italy. Speaks Italian. Mike is his name. And he has the Florentino restaurant chains. And great guy. Good friend. Really good friend. Really good friend. And he comes to the house all the time. And he, the other day, we called him up because our grapevines this year didn't produce any grapes at all. Now, we don't use herbicides and pesticides on our grapevines, but we just didn't produce any grapes. And because we have like a little orchard. And I asked, Sharon asked Mike last week, she said, what's going on with my grapes? He goes, man, I don't know, Sharon, we didn't get any grapes either. This whole thing they're doing with the geoengineering and the aluminum and all the stuff that's being pumped into us all the time, Austin, it's a major, major health hazard. It's really affecting crops. And these weird weather cycles, hot, 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 beyond belief hot, no rain for 4 or 5 days, then monsooning again with thunderstorms everywhere. I mean, this is a mess. They've really put this whole ecosystem into a straitjacket with HARP and this spraying everywhere, and it's absolutely ridiculous. By the way, anti-U.S. rally has been staged at NATO in Turkey, at the NATO airbase. They want the U.S. and NATO out of Turkey. There's over 1,000 demonstrators are calling for the closure of the base where arrests and searches were made in connection with a failed coup. Reports on social media suggest up to 1,000 people have gathered to support the demonstration. I really believe that the CIA was involved in this coup. I just don't trust them. In fact, I went to see the movie last night, the new Bourne movie. Great movie, talking about the MKUltra program. Of course, they call it different names. They had a big company in like Facebook. There was like a Facebook giant that the CIA had set up, and they were trying to get them to break into people's accounts and read everything behind the scenes. A great movie. well done, great script, good acting. Go see the movie. You get an idea of what goes on behind the scenes as far as in the higher levels of the CIA. It was not flattering for the CIA at all. It was actually awful, and it was a pretty good indication of what they're planning on doing for us. So everybody can go see that movie. It got 5 stars from Ted, if that means anything. Here's an article from Reuters. It says China is going to hold drills with Russia in the South China Sea. They're going to be doing naval exercises together. Now, remember, the Hague ruled this month that China did not have historic rights to the South China Sea and criticized environmental destruction there. China rejected the ruling and refused to participate in the case. In other words, we're not going to come to the trial. But here's what's interesting. Reuters and the APY are both owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. This is the same news agency. So they're pumping this news out. I hesitate to even give you the Reuters information because, to me, every time you see Reuters and every time you see AP Wire, it's almost always some type of government obfuscation information that they're giving to you. Here's another one. Syria basically has split from Al-Qaeda. The Al-Syria's Al-Nusra Front officially splits from Al-Qaeda. It's from Zero Hedge. The leader of the Jihad Al-Nusra Front, Muhammad guy, confirmed that his group has formally split from Al-Qaeda and has renamed itself Jabhat. Okay, I'm not going to finish the rest of that. The creation of this new front aims to close the gap between the jihadi factions in the Levant. So we're getting more and more of these factions breaking off now. And this is my final story I want to talk about real quick. I'll also come back. Hungary's President Orban says that Trump is a better option for Europe. Now, Hungary is the one who's also said no more to the refugees. You remember, I was there last year, and I reported live from Budapest. A Zero Hedge, again, the anti-terrorism proposal of the U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump makes him a better option for Europe and Hungary, Prime Minister Viktor Orban said on Saturday. Orban, who has built razor wire border fences, which is true, said in Romania that Trump's ideas about the need for the best intelligence services and his opposition to democracy export were also applicable in Europe. I am not Donald Trump's campaigner, he said. I've never thought that the idea would ever occur to me that he's a better of the open options for Europe and Hungary. I listened to Trump. I have to tell you that he made 3 proposals to stop terrorism. As a European, I myself could not have drawn up better what Europe needs. More and more people I talk to in Europe are silently in Trump's corner. I found the same thing when I was over there. They were telling me they wanted a Trump there. They want to get rid of Angela Merkel. The more, and also in Italy, they want to get rid of the people in Italy. They wanted a Trump there. They told me that in Venice. The more intense the attacks, the stronger their support grows for Trump. Meanwhile, Eastern European countries are openly criticizing the European Commission quite bluntly as far as bringing in additional illegal immigrants. They are warning that the EU has learned nothing about the exit from above Britain, and now they're demanding reform, and local parliaments should have more say in the direction of their countries. Hungary also is now calling for radical change in the refugee policy in the EU. So everybody over there is starting to jump on the Trump bandwagon. Austin, you got to love it, buddy. What do you think?
Yeah, it is funny. Well, people are realizing that he wants to, you know, incite change. He wants to do something different. Obviously, what we're doing, what Europe's doing, it's not working. It's not working at all. It's an abysmal failure, and that there has to be some turnaround. We have to start focusing on the countries and what they actually need, what's the most beneficial aspects for them and what to follow. That's been the issue with the EU, is that when they came together like that, is that everything was about the EU. You know, the individual countries no longer had that direct say of, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that's what we need to get back. It's the same thing we need to get back in the United States. We need to get back to our states' rights again. We need to have the ability to say, no, we're not going to do that. I don't care if it's federally mandated. We're going to exempt ourselves from that. We're just not going to go to jail today. How do you like that? You know, and that's kind of the attitude that we need to get as well. I don't know if we'll be able to get that back with Trump in the United States, because the federal government has such an outreaching tentacles now of how much power we've let it have.
Vampire squid.
That is exactly what it is. But that's what it really needs to come back down to, is state law, Trump's federal law, and that's how it's always supposed to have been, and it was at the beginning, and that's really what we need to get back to. But to really get resolved, this government, this country, to really bring things back to what they need to be, that is one of the most crucial aspects that nobody wants to address, is bringing back states' rights and allowing them to make their own decisions. That way, if you don't like something a certain state's doing, move. It doesn't matter. The federal government can't mandate that all the states have to follow specific laws. That's what the issue we have now. If we had Obamacare mandate and specific states said, no, we're not going to follow Obamacare. We're going to basically do our own thing. We're going to set up maybe a state health care program, and people want to buy into that or something of that sort, that would be okay, because you could say, well, I don't like this state or I don't like that state, I'll move. But when the federal government comes in with their gavel and says, if you don't do it, we're basically going to bonk you on the head until you're broke and throw you in jail, that doesn't work for me. And that's what we have to get away from, of that ideology of tyranny, and that it's okay behavior, and that we have to basically fall to our knees and worship the government and whatever they say is gospel, because that's not how it was designed and that's not how it's supposed to be. And I really hope Trump understands that. I don't know if he does. I know he doesn't say a lot of stuff sometimes because I think he thinks he's going to get eviscerated. But I'm not sure. I definitely think, though, in my opinion, that's what we need to start going back towards.
I agree with you, Austin. Here's another Reuters propaganda piece. In a country where it is what it is. This is I'm going to make my point with this one. Reuters. Pope Francis urged young people on Thursday to welcome more migrants and more refugees, putting himself in direct contrast with the government of Poland on the second day of his visit there. Okay? I mean, this is unbelievable. This is another Reuters propaganda piece. Then now here's one with it. We're from Russia Today. This is a straight piece. Merkel has declared war on her own German people. Merkel vows to stick to open door policy, and she faces an online uproar. Russia Today. Germany's online community has been in fervor since Chancellor Merkel, the blithering idiot. Well, that's I added that part. Said that she will stick to an open door policy for refugees, maintaining Germany is still safe, which is not, despite the recent deadly attacks, which there are, most of which were committed by migrants, which of course is true. Merkel acknowledged at a news briefing on Thursday that she was a blithering idiot. No, she didn't say that, but she did say that Islamists could use the refugee flow to infiltrate Germany, which they have. Now she's saying this. They could infiltrate Germany with a refugee flow that the jihadists could. She also admitted that even a powerful country like Germany cannot take so many refugees in the long term. Yet, at the same time, she made it clear there will be no U-turn in the state's policies with regard to migrants. Dealing with the flood of refugees is a historic task, Merkel said, while reiterated that Germany will make it. Yeah, it'll make it, but it won't be Germany, it won't be Muslim. She also stressed lots has already been done, echoing arguments that she made in previous speeches. Germany has faced 5 deadly assaults in just over a week. The 3 were committed by asylum seekers, 2 of those being investigated for links to Islamic State. I mean, guys, really? Angela Merkel, unbelievable. This is just ridiculous. Now in Germany, another one, Breitbart just came out with it. A man shouting, Allah Akbar, tries to behead a surgeon. I mean, unbelievable. Tries to behead a surgeon. You know, I mean, these guys are Looney Tunes. The religion of peace strikes again. Italy launches 1.5 billion euro online project to deter migrants. Italy's broken. They're putting all this money at trying to get rid of these guys. The Italian government has launched a media campaign aimed at raising awareness of the dangers of violence and exploitation during migration to keep you guys out of here. Unbelievable. And now President Obama, which I mentioned earlier, is allowing 400,000 additional migrants to come in from Central America. I mean, this guy is just a gift that keeps on giving. Crazy, crazy, crazy. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now, too. We see a lot that the crucial data on pesticide toxicity is basically concealed, and they market and patent chemicals and make them sound legitimate. Some of the biggest agrochemical formulators, you know, Monsanto, Dow, Bayer, are claiming their chemicals are safe while hiding the known compounding synergistic effects of their pesticides. And what's happening is the EPA, when these companies come in with these new compounds such as, you know, glyphosate or dicamba, they basically say, well, this only has this specific amount of risk. And the problem is whenever these companies test multiples of these pesticides on top of one another, they're seeing much, much, much higher significant risk than even the EPA allows, yet the stuff is so significantly suppressed. According to an investigation by the watchdog group, the Center for Biological Diversity found nearly 100 different pesticide products are not safe at all, even after being given a license by the EPA. Over a 6-year time period, the EPA actually green-lighted nearly 100 pesticide products that have had synergistic compounds known for increasing the dangers to pollinators and plants. These synergistic effects occur when 2 or more of the chemicals come together. The CBD's latest report, Toxic Concoctions, how the EPA ignores the dangers of pesticide cocktails. Wow. Breaks down the harm that the chemical industry is doing by fooling regulatory authorities and using loopholes to change their data. One of Dow's AgroScience toxic pesticide products revoked in 2014 for these reasons, containing the 2,4-D and glyphosate, caused such toxic effects to plants that the EPA revoked its license even after approving it in 2014. The Center for Biological Diversity investigated 140 patented products from these large chemical companies. 96 of them, almost 70%, demonstrated synergy between the various active chemicals in these products. A few of them off the top, including glyphosate, atrazine, 2,4-D, dicamba, and other types of chemicals like that. It's alarming to see just how common it's been for the EPA to ignore how these chemical mixtures might endanger the health of our environment. It's pretty clear that chemical companies knew about these dangers, but the EPA never demanded to demand this information from them or dig a little deeper to find it for themselves. So another reason, again, guys, why we need to try and go as natural as we can as far as options with growth, because this is not something we can keep doing and sustain healthy plant life, healthy food life, healthy insect life. It's just not going to work.
No, we can't put this up into the aquifer into the streams, into the lakes. I mean, that's the thing that I finally realized. I mentioned this a couple shows ago. You know, I used to use Roundup just for weed control because it's so ridiculous here in Florida. And finally, I thought, well, I can't really kill the weeds. They come back even with Roundup. They just re-sprig up. So I guess the weeds have won. And my dad used to say something so funny. He said, Teddy, it's not a weed unless you don't want it there. Otherwise, it's a plant.
True.
He's a farmer. I laughed at him. I said, you're right, Dad. But what was interesting about it, I finally decided that, you know, we live close to like a lake, because everybody lives close to a lake in Florida, down here in Central Florida where we live. And I thought, you know, if we keep dumping all this Roundup in there, if something ever happened and we really had to drink the water out of the lake and run it through some filters, I don't want to be drinking glyphosate. And so every time one of my neighbors gets down there with glyphosate, I start fussing at him. I'm like, you know, guys, think about this. You're killing the mussels of the lake. The water's getting dirtier and dirtier because the mussels are all dying. So all this pesticide, all this organic runoff, all of this stuff coming in from the fertilizers. So I don't fertilize my lake, my grass anymore. I don't spray my grass anymore. The weeds kind of took it over, and we mow the weeds once a week, and I'm good with the weeds. I don't care anymore. I don't have to win that battle. It's just one of those never-ending battles anyhow. I had a friend of mine, his name was Warren Williams, may he rest in peace, and we lived in another place that was called Somerset here in town years ago, and I was out there just to fuss him, just pulling up crabgrass, pulling up weeds, and he comes over one day, he goes, what are you doing? He goes, ah, man, this St. Augustine's full of weeds, I got to pull these weeds. And he goes, yeah, mine used to look as pretty as your yard, it was beautiful. And he goes, I said, well, you're just all weeds now. He goes, yeah, the weeds won, I don't care anymore. He says, what difference does it make? He says, you're not going to defeat them. That's what he said. And I looked at him, I laughed, and his wife, Gertie, may she rest in peace, she came out, and she goes, yeah, we had enough of spraying this stuff, all these chemicals on the yard. And I thought, you know what? That's starting to make sense. And here now, years later, I'm saying the same thing. I don't care anymore. So whatever. They asked me the other day when we were planting that sod, are you going to put in Bahia, or are you going to put in St. Augustine, which is the stuff that requires tons of water and lots of pesticide stuff, right? And I said, we're going to put in Bahia. If we will, we'll sprig a little bit of St. Augustine in there. Okay, here's another interesting one here. Uniform police officers are banned from the Democratic convention floor. Thursday on the Fox News Channel, Fox and Friends, an appearance from the side of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani called the convention the most anti-police, the most anti-law enforcement he's ever seen. However, he also said that according to high-ranking officers in Philadelphia, uniformed law enforcement was not allowed on the floor of the convention. This is the most anti-police, anti-law enforcement convention I've ever seen in my entire life. There was not a uniformed police officer allowed anywhere on the floor. You know, with Trump, we had Blue Lives Matter. And guys, now listen to me. 80% of the cops out there are wonderful. I mean, 80%, they get a passing grade. Then you got a bunch of them. Like the other day, the guy was trying to help this autistic guy. He's laying on the ground, and the cops came up and shot the guy who was the counselor in the leg because he wouldn't lay flat and put his hands out because he was trying to help this kid who was clearly mentally, you know, impaired. I mean, you know, come on, guys. You gotta stop shooting people and tasing people all the time. Now, don't give me, you know I'm right, Austin. Just stop it. I mean, watch that video with Bob Newhart. It's called Stop It. Google it. It says Bob Newhart, Stop It. And he says, if you got a problem with stuff you're doing, just stop it. Now, I'm not saying that some people don't deserve to get shot. I got that. But 50,000 people got shot and tased and injured by police last year in the United States. That's ridiculous, okay? And that's the problem that we have in the United States right now. We've militarized the police. I mean, you know, if you got a problem, you got some nutbag giving you a hard time, just call for backup and just subdue the guy the old-fashioned way, just kind of hold him down and handcuff him. You don't have to shoot him five times and taser him six. Don't do all that stuff. Just stop it, you know, unless you absolutely have to if they've got a weapon. If they got a weapon, okay, well, you know, games are, party's over. But stop shooting people when they're trying to give up and tasing people. Just ridiculous. Here we go. Did the DNC hire actors at below minimum wage to work at the convention to fill seats? The answer is yes. They did. They had to work at 7 hours for this convention for less than for $50. I mean, unreal. So now they're, I mean, these guys are just ridiculous. We covered all of this on Wednesday while they're so whacked out. So, yeah. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, there's definitely another one we have, too. I was trying to pull it up earlier. Here it is now. The Monsanto looks like there was an article here. I didn't get to go through it all yet, but it looks like it strong-armed another science journal to retract a study showing liver kidney toxicity in rats fed GMO and glyphosate. It came out in the Food and Chemical Toxicology. It basically went into detail about a individual French biologist, Gilles Eric Sorali, which published and then had his story unpublished. And it contained no errors, no fraudulent information, was not plagiarized at all. However, they completely pulled it, and after a second and mysterious peer review, used the excuse that the findings were inconclusive. So again, we have more information that comes out on glyphosate, and again, we have more corruption and more blocking of the information by Monsanto and their cronies because they don't want this stuff getting leaked out. It always makes me laugh because, I mean, when you see stuff like this, it just shows you what were they so concerned about it getting out in the open. Because, quite frankly, most people now know what glyphosate does to the human body. It's not that difficult to figure out anymore. You can just do a small Google search. But yet they're still trying to convey to the public that this stuff is actually safe and we need to use it. And I don't know when either they're going to stop doing it, or the entire American public's going to wake up, or maybe either one of those are not going to happen. Maybe I'm just dreaming.
Well, the only thing we can do is stop buying it.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, here's some of Hillary's planned tax hikes. She's probably planning on raising taxes over $1 trillion a year. That's going to really help the economy, by the way.
Yeah.
God, I'm being facetious, okay? $350 billion income tax increases. They're going to have a fair share church surcharge. I don't even know what that even means. I guess that's that communist lingo, fair share surcharge. And they're going to have a, they're going to hike the death tax. Remember, one of the keys with the communists as far as they're taking over from, this is all started with that Russian revolution stuff, them coming over here, the Bolsheviks. And one of the things they got to do on their planks is they got to make sure they massively tax you when you die. So even on the way out, heading to the cemetery, your people are going to get whacked. And the reason they do that is to bring everything back to the government at your death, so everybody else has to struggle trying to make money again, so there won't be any continuing wealth in the forms of the different foundations that they don't endorse. That's why they do what they do. Maybe Hillary needs to take a look at her own nonprofit foundation, Austin, with the
yeah.
billions of dollars that she's brought on there, and maybe raise some taxes on it. Because these guys are all about, now we have a fair share surcharge, $1 trillion in taxes. You know, Ford just said they're not making any money and their sales are flat, okay? Over 100 million people are either unemployed or underemployed in the United States right now. Does she really think that raising taxes this much is going to create more jobs? Absolutely not. All it's going to do is destroy the economy even further with what King Obama has already done. So I don't know. Oh, Ted Cruz is basically, Rick Perry is not considering to run against the U.S. Senate bid to stop Ted Cruz from getting reelected. My response is, go Rick Perry, get Ted Cruz out. I don't want to see Grandpa Munster again, ever, ever, ever again. Now, what's your next story, Oz? That's what he looks like.
Grandpa Munster.
Let's see what he looks like. Pull up a picture.
Funny when you say that. Oh, man. This was an article I pulled off real quick. I thought it was pretty cool. It was off the Natural Blaze. It was 17 things that are really useful to have in the event of a, basically, collapse. And it was some things that a lot of people don't really think about. But just off the top here, the first one they said was aluminum foil. They said it's very good for being able to hold in heat as well while you're trying to cook, as far as wrapping around stones or campfires. Another one was disposable eating utensils. You know, as along with having portable water tanks, which I've told you before, also cleaning equipment and supplies like buckets, plungers, stuff like that. Most people don't think about it. If you are still able to keep water going, you know, what if you have an overflow, something like that, along with mops and brooms, being able to keep things clean, tidy, and neat. Cooking grates or grills, that's a good one. Cooking grates are nice because you can start a small fire on them and cook some food, heat something up, and be able to make it portable as well. Same way with grills. And also sanitation supplies. I've talked about this normally. Stuff like toilet paper, old T-shirts, socks. That's one thing that a lot of people don't talk about. And I remember John Moore, I talked to him when we were up in Missouri a while back ago. And he said one of the biggest things you always do, he says they learned in the Army, is you always have extra socks on hand. He's like, because one of the nastiest things to have to do is put dirty, wet, cold socks back on the next morning for another 10 mile ruck march. And so that's one thing that's always been in a lot of my bags is extra socks and inside of Ziploc bags so they stay dry. You know, alongside of that, having multiple things, you know, extra T-shirts, clothes, toilet paper, stuff that doesn't ever go bad. There's no expiration date. You can always use it for something. But that was just a few things off the top here that I thought I wanted to share with you guys. When I see stuff like that, I always like to bring it up on the show because sometimes people don't think about this specific stuff.
Well, no, you people always have to be thinking about how, if something happens, they can utilize what they have more efficiently. So that's really, really good. So here's another article from Health Impact News. It says, is your water being polluted by big pharma chemicals? And, of course, the answer to that is we mentioned already with the glyphosate going into the water. I want to clarify a little bit on that. It says, a recent study by the U.S. Geological Survey has found that a startling number of American streams carry traces of drugs. The researchers sampled 59 small streams in the southeast for 108 different pharmaceutical compounds, and one or more chemicals were detected in every sampled stream. Streams tested positive for 6 chemicals on average, including Tylenol, lidocaine, tramadol, antihistamines, and metformin. That's that drug that causes pancreatic cancer on type 2 diabetics. I mean, guys, type 2 diabetes, that's one of those things that's basically center of X in many cases, and you can correct a lot of problems with high blood sugar by simply changing your diet. That's really, really easy to do in most cases. That's Doug Hagman and also Dave Hodges. They both do that. It's just not a big deal for most people if they change their diet and take the proper supplements. But the thing about it is, metformin, pancreatic cancer, that's just one of those don't do things. Not only are these drugs in our drinking water, they're also in our food supply as well. Biosolids, that's human poop, by the way, are being pushed on unsuspecting farmers by local or state governments as cheap fertilizer alternatives, even though they can be riddled with drugs and personal care products and are rarely, if ever, tested for these substances. And the pharmaceuticals are now found in biosolids can wreak havoc on animal and plant life. At higher concentrations, even the vegetables themselves are harmed by the drugs when biosolids are used in fertilizer. Zucchini plants that were exposed to pharmaceutical drugs developed leaves with burned edges and white spots, as well as stunted roots. Exposure also impaired the plant's ability to perform photosynthesis, the process by which plants produce energy from sunlight. There's a product called Milorganite, and what it is Milwaukee sewage that they process in the plant fertilizer. And there's a big warning label on it, or there used to be when I used to read the label, because it's good for like flowers and non-edible stuff, but it warns you not to use it on anything that you're going to consume or eat. It's not safe for that. It just don't do it at all. One of the best types of natural fertilizer is horse fertilizer. I know, Austin, your mom, you know, she used to ride horses back in college, and she said that people would actually come to the stables and collect the poop for fertilizer all the time. They'd come back and fill up the back of their pickup trucks with it because it was such a good fertilizer for plants. So, guys, think about it. I mean, if you're really going to put a human waste as fertilizer on your edible foods with all these chemicals and pharmaceuticals in the human waste, it's just not healthy. It's just really pretty nasty stuff. And by the way, we're almost out of time again, so I want to thank you guys. Thanks for listening. You know, it's really nice when I get to meet people like Richard today that actually listen to the show every day. And we have so many emails from you guys when you get to go face-to-face. It's just wonderful. Thank you for listening all over the country, all over the world. We had letters from New Zealand and Australia and Russia. I mean, it's wonderful that you guys are listening to the show and that you're enjoying the show. And thanks for honoring us with your presence. I really mean that very, very sincerely. And I really appreciate so many of you supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. If just that's all you're going to get from us is a multiple vitamin, thank you. Many of you have donated on the website. Thank you. I just want to say thank you. I mean, I just want to be that. I don't want to be that guy that doesn't say thank you. That's a courtesy that so many of us have forgotten, just to say thank you. I don't want to be that guy. So thank you for your support and for Health Masters. And thank you for signing up for our newsletter, which is completely free online, and for sharing these phone numbers of how to get in touch with us and to listen to our show with all of our listeners. I mean, it's so wonderful that you guys are able to do that. In fact, I'm going to pull that up real quick, Austin, unless you have those numbers right there. Do you have those numbers?
No, I don't think I have them right in front of me right now.
I'm going to give them out because this show is going to play all weekend, and I want to go ahead and give out these phone numbers real quick for people who want to listen to the show other than online. You got to listen. You can actually listen to this thing on your telephone. It's really cool, and it's 24 hours a day. You hear the same show start over for 24 hours until the next show comes on. It's 641-552-5310. So if you're trying to do it online, almost all cell phone now have free long distance. This is a U.S. call. It's 641-552-5310. I'll give it to you one more time. It's on our website. It's also posted there. It's 641-552-5310. And this show starts live over again. That recording starts at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. As soon as the show ends, it starts again on that phone number. And if you want to listen to it live, you absolutely have to hear us live. There's another number you can get on the website, too. But that 24-hour feed, you can click that one in. You're driving down the highway. You just want to hear what Ted and Austin got to say. There you go. Just plug it in. You get to hear it. You get to hear the latest news on top of all that. So that's wonderful. Austin, what you got to say next, bud?
Well, yeah, it will also, too, guys, let you know the HGH Stimulate. I'll let you know earlier this week it did win. It's on Product of the Week still. It's over 10% off. So if you guys want to try that, that's great. And the Maximum Success CD series, the Doug CD series, or Doug CD set, that's the coupon, Doug or Dave CD set, that will be going till the end of Sunday night. And that's for the free Maximum Success CD series on any order over $200.
That's right. Also, tonight, too, Doug 5 for 5% off your total order is going to be set up again. I want you guys to get it first. Doug 5. That's the letters 5. It also has D-O-U-G or is it a 5?
D-O-U-G and the number 5.
Number 5, okay. D-O-U-G and the number 5 will get you 5% off any Health Master order, and that'll be for the next few days. So enjoy that. God bless you guys. Looking forward to being on Hagman tonight. Go ahead and close, Austin.
Yes, we appreciate it, guys. Stay tuned for a show. It'll be great. You guys have a blessed night and a safe weekend, and we'll be back with you guys on Monday.